When it comes to buying a notebook computer, the sky's the limit in terms of how much you can spend. Prices range from around $500 to over $4,000. So knowing exactly what you want to do with your notebook is essential before you buy. Of course, it's also important to know the capabilities of any computer you're thinking of buying. So on the line to help clear up some common questions is Kate Burley from Intel Australia. G'day, Kate.
Hi, Andy.
Now, Kate, is there a checklist that people should go through before buying a notebook computer?
Well, it's up to the end customer, of course, but I think it's a good idea. I would always recommend starting with the checklist and making sure that you had a few key points that you were sort of shopping around on, for sure.
So things like what you'd use the computer for, yeah?
Yeah, I think start off with, how you're going to use it in mind. Do you want it to be a desktop or a notebook? Is space something that you care about in a big way? Do you want an all-in-one design for desktop? If it's a notebook, you're going to be carrying it around a lot, so maybe battery life might be important. It might be important how heavy it is or not as well. So how you're going to use it and also technically what it's capable of doing.
Now, Kate, I made mention of the huge range of prices that notebooks come in. Do you feel that people often overspend on these items?
No, I would say that they don't. In fact, at the moment, there's great value out there for consumers. So for the first 6 months of the year, people have been getting computers for up to $200 to $300 less than you'd normally expect to pay for such good quality computers. And that's mainly been because of the exchange rate in Australia. So anyone who's bought in the last 6 months has actually been pretty lucky. So they're definitely not overspending. But if you're looking in the range of sort of $1,200 to $1,500, you're going to get a pretty top-notch machine these days. So that should be the upper limit of what people are looking for. And then, of course, there are some really good bargain prices at that sub-$1,000 price point as well.
But naturally, if you want something with a lot more grunt, your budget is going to be bigger, and dollars equals performance, right?
Yeah, my general feeling is, Andy, that you can never have enough performance on the processor.
Yeah.
But and the reason why I say that is because you never hear anyone complaining about a computer being too fast, right?
No, you don't.
We're all complaining that they're too slow. We never complain that they're too fast. And that's driven by the processor. So my general recommendation is always look to get the highest spec processor you can afford. At the moment, it's pretty easy. You look between the Intel Core i3, Core i5, Core i7, with i7 being better than i5 and i5 being better than i3. So if you're not technical, let those badges be a good basic guide for the quality of the processor you're getting and the commensurate performance. And then once you've got the processor sorted, have a look at what other performance benefits you're looking for. For example, graphics, memory, hard drive, they're all very important to the overall sort of performance and capabilities of the machine as well. And you can sort of chop and change and decide whether you want more graphics or more memory, depending on the price point.
So do you think people should start with the CPU, the processor, before looking at things like RAM and video capabilities? Because I know in the past, some retailers have often pushed things like the amount of RAM and a powerful graphics card as being important.
Yeah, and I mean, they can be important, but I would always say start with the processor first, because the processor is the brains of the PC, and the ability for the other components in the PC to be able to perform at their sort of maximum capability will actually be determined by the processor itself. For example, on graphics, you can have a fantastic graphics card, but if you've got a low-end processor, then you're not going to have a great processor. The processor's not going to be able to drive the ultimate performance of the graphics card. So it is determined by the processor, in a sense, the maximum performance you can get out of the graphics. So that might be an area where some people get a little bit caught out. They may be told, hey, it's got a fantastic graphics card, and then get home and discover that they've bought quite a low-end processor within that combination. They should make sure that if they want to pay the extra money for high-end graphics, for example, they should also have a high-end processor to go with it. So I'd recommend you look for a Core i5 processor or Core i7, for example, if you're going to get that discrete graphics solution added in.
Okay, now, of course, the 2010 range of Intel processors has the integrated graphics on the chip there. Now, I guess in the past, integrated graphics hasn't been thought of as something that's very powerful, and as a result, people would perhaps look at buying a separate video card to do things like, you know, watching high-definition movies and playing video games. But exactly how good is the integrated graphics on the new Intel chips?
It's really come a long way these days. We refer to it as Intel HD graphics. And because graphics has become increasingly important for all of us, like we all love watching YouTube videos or sharing our digital photography for each other, doing video editing is now something that all consumers do. We've really focused on making sure that the Intel HD graphics is a great entry-level solution for all PC users. And for that reason, we've actually bundled it in as part of the new Intel Core i3 or Core i5 range. You can just get Intel HD graphics as part of the value proposition. You shouldn't have to pay anything more for that because it's already there. So if you're a little bit price sensitive, you can certainly feel quite confident looking at machines and saying, oh, it's got Intel HD graphics. I've got to have a great graphics solution. Maybe I don't need to pay extra to have a discrete graphics card on top of that. But if you're a high-end user or you really sort of did a lot of design yourself, we would say start with Core i5 or look at Core i7 and look at a machine that also has a discrete graphics card capability. So it just depends at what level you're on.
Users such as gamers would be pretty adamant that a discrete video card would be a good solution, for playing some high-end games.
Absolutely. That's a great example. Like a gamer is going to have the best processor they can afford and the best graphics card. You put the best and the best together and you're going to get a fantastic machine. A more standard everyday user might be, hey, you know, I just want to have like really good, capable graphics. I'm not a gamer. I don't need to have something discrete. Intel HD graphics with, say, the Core i3 or Core i5 processor should be a good fit for them.
Okay, so like you're saying, pretty much the new process is very simply explained, starting out with Core i3, i5, mid-range, i7, sort of top of the range there. Where can people go to get more information to help them sort of make decisions on what they can buy?
If you go onto the Intel website at intel.com.au, have a look in the consumer section of that website. There's an area there called Know Your Numbers. That's definitely a good starting point. It will refer to a lot of the information that I've shared with you today around processor, hard drive, RAM, graphics, gigahertz, help explain in simple terms a few of those definitions and what to look for. We won't make a recommendation on that website as to what PC people should ultimately choose. There's a whole lot of choices out there, and the good thing for consumers is they can go and shop around to get the best price they can afford. But definitely the website will give them a really good starting point as to what those basic specs are that they should look for, so they can be a little bit more educated before they go into the retail store.
Excellent. Kate Burley from Intel, thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Andy.